good to be in the Lord's house. Take your Bibles to Psalm 135. Psalm 135. Eye up the audience here, see who's here. Good to see you, Brother Ron, Miss Sue. Brother Ron has some tests this coming week, and so weather permitting, should pray for him. Psalm 135. I like reading the Bible and gleaning the great truths of the Scripture. And I had most of my preaching lined up for the whole year, except for December. And so Friday morning, I was coming to here, and I thought, don't have nothing to preach for Sunday, Lord. And began to think and meditate and ask the Lord to direct. And so I want us to begin in Psalm 135 and down in verse number 15. And I want to preach out of this passage and then another one, Psalm 115. The Bible says, the idols of the heathen. Now you understand that. This is the idols of the heathen. They are heathen if they have idols. No matter who they are, they're heathen. Are silver and gold the work of men's hands? They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouth. They that make them are like unto them, and so is every one that trusteth in them. Then go to Psalm 115. Psalm 115, almost identical to what we just read, but with a few additions. Psalm 115 and verse number 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen then say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. Let's all say amen. Amen. And he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Let me put it to you. He's done what he's wanted to do. He's done it ever how he wanted to do it. And their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. They have feet, they have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, so is every one that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Could I just modify that just a little bit for our sake? Christian, trust in the Lord. Amen. Trust in the Lord. He's your help and your shield. And I want to preach a little bit this morning about let's compare, but there's really no comparison. Let's compare, but there's really no comparison. Say, what are we comparing? Well, we're comparing God to God. Amen. Our God, capital G-O-D, to the gods of the world, little G-O-D-S. All of them. Let's match them all up. And you'll find out there's none like our God. You know, idol worship is a serious offense. It's a serious offense. I know that it's accepted or at least tolerated in fact, let's say it's mostly accepted today as a form of religion among nations, sadly even among Christians, and among Christian religions, I'll put it that way. It is serious and it is not to be ignored, nor is it to be accepted. Idolatry is still wrong. in the modern enlightened age that we live in, idolatry is still wrong. And no matter who's doing it or what, how sociably acceptable that it is, idolatry is wrong. You know, the culture today wants us to embrace most foreign religions while rejecting Christianity. I'm not talking about the Christianity of the world. I'm talking about Bible Christianity. The world is not so much against the world Christianity, but they are against Bible Christianity. The Bible is our source of understanding and knowledge of what we are to do and who we are to worship. And we are not to make light of worship, whether it be of our God, or to make light of the worship that they do. It is a serious offense against God to be an idolater. We must be careful these days because of the subtlety of idolatry. It comes in the form of religion. It comes in the form of real sincerity. It comes in the form of honesty. But the truth of the matter is, it's still a practice of the heathen. And anybody, let me say, come on now, anybody who worships an idol is not worshiping God. Yes, sir. I don't care what religion it is or it isn't. Anybody that bows to the idol and performs religious sacrifice to the idol is not worshiping our God. I don't care who it is. I've got them in my family, you've got them in your family. And they're wrong. They're wrong. Take your Bibles over to Exodus chapter 20. Let's get a few thoughts on this. And I know that this is the law given to Israel, but I believe it's probably as fundamental to us as it is to anybody. I believe maybe Jesus said something about this. Love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I believe that covers what we're going to read. Exodus chapter number 20. Verse number 1, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Verse number 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me, little g. Don't want you to have any other gods before me. And he said, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I am the Lord thy God, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the children of the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Now we have a clear command of God that we are not to make any image and bow down to it. We are not to do any religious ceremony to any image. 1 Corinthians says, now as concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, listen, we know that the idol is nothing. Zero. Zero is nothing in the world. And that there is none other God but one. Come on now, amen. Them idols are nothing. Whether they are an idol of a crucifix with a Christ on it, or whether they're over in the eastern countries or in the Middle East or in the western countries, it does not matter. An idol is nothing. There is one God, and He's ours. Isaiah said, I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. John said this, Peter said this, he said, we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You say, Brother Tim, all them people are sincere. They're devoted. They're more devoted even than Christians are. Oh, I agree to that. Well, there ain't nothing, I'm disagreeing on that. But it's not right. It's idolatry. And so we want to take a little bit of time here this morning and just compare, do some comparing. And seen. Now, an idol, if you're there in your Bibles in Psalm 115, I don't need to expound on this, but I'm going to. Well, if not, we get out of church. Amen. and get home and forget some things. Psalm 115 in verse number 3 says, "But our God is in the heavens, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased." God just does whatever he wants. He's God, he's sovereign, he's holy. He doesn't have to ask my permission or your permission to do anything. He's God. He said, "Let there be," and it was. He's God. God said, "Don't do this," and they didn't do it. He's God. Amen? But he does say this. He gives us two records in the Bible of what an idol is. Now, the idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. The idol is man-made. He's come out of the imagination of man. I've read through the Old Testament. I've read enough to know that the heathens of those days, and when I was a heathen, I worshipped anything but God. And when you was a heathen, you worshipped anything but God. Creeping things and little images and such like that we would collect and worship them and think of them as gods. We've had imaginations in our mind of what a god is. And I can say this, ladies and gentlemen, there is no way that my imagination or your imagination can conceive and comprehend the awesomeness and the holiness of Almighty God. So man in his depraved and sinful state has decided and connived in his mind and conceived in his mind an image that he could worship. Don't matter to me if it's the Native American in the powwow doing some kind of a spooky dance to the gods. It's idol worship. On the totem pole and all those other things, it's idol worship. The beads, it's idol worship. Come on now. It's all idols. It's made by man. It's silver and gold. Some of it ain't even silver and gold. The Lord records this for us. He said, with a part of it, a fellow goes out and he cuts a tree. With a part of it, he makes his lunch. Makes his fire to make his lunch, keeps him warm, does this, does that, and with the rest of it, he carves out a little thing, bows down to it, and says, "Boy, sure am glad you made me." Now, how goofy is that? Amen? They're man-made. Thus saith the Lord. Well, the Bible says that they're made of silver and gold. They are not eternal. They are not self-existing. They are man-made. Man makes them. Man fashions them. Ladies and gentlemen, idolatry has been since day one of man's sinfulness and man's fall. Cain was an idolater, and his whole line that I was a part of when I was born into this world is born into idolatry. It is in the Old Testament, it is in the New Testament, and it is in the present Testament. Yeah, it's idolatry. And don't you have anything in your home, come on now, don't you have anything in your home that represents an idol? Amen. Say, "Well, I just collect them." No, no, it's sinful. Amen. It's wicked. Amen. I'm not into the fortune telling. It's wicked. It's idolatry. I don't read my horoscope. I've done read what God said and it's looking good. That's all I need to know. I don't need no bad news. So I don't read that. I don't look at that stuff. And if you do as a Christian, you're in sin. They're man-made. Read the book. Now come on, read the book. Say, "Preacher, how come you keep saying come on?" Because most of us are sitting here thinking, "Well, what do you think?" Well, I'll tell you what I'm thinking. I'm trying to get you to see what I'm thinking. I'm against it. Amen? That's why I'm not into community faith. That's why I'm not into community faith. Because they got a faith that I don't have and I don't want. And I got a faith they don't have and they don't want. But I'm trying to get them to. And so the idol is man-made. Now let me tell you this. Our God is self-existing. Before time was, God is. The Bible says, "Thus saith the High and the Lofty One that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite heart and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones." I read in Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning God." I don't read in the beginning Buddha. I don't read in the beginning any of them other gods. I read in the beginning God. Yeah. By the way, I read at the end God. Yeah. Rest that crowd off into the lake of fire. Hebrews says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He is what? He is. He just is everything. He's not man-made. Christianity as we have it right here in our church is not man-made. We are not trying to make you into something that we think we are or that we are not. We're trying to conform us to the image of Christ who is defined for us in this holy book. The Bible says, number two, the idols, number one, the idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands, imaginations. They have mouths, but they can't speak. These idols have mouths. They have some mouths on them. I don't know, I should have looked. They have some mouths on them, but they can't speak. This is an idol, right here. This is an idol. You say, Uncle Abe's an idol? No, what he's on is an idol. And we put a lot of confidence in something that can't speak. The idol, he has a mouth, but he can't speak. He has no ability to communicate. He can't comfort. He can't console. The Bible says this, and they took the bullock which was given them. This is the pagan worshipers. They dressed in and called upon the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. I mean, they was getting serious about this. Hey, Baal! Hey, Baal! Hey, Baal! That great prophet said, well, maybe he's sleeping. Amen. Maybe he's busy talking. I'm thankful that you can pray and I can pray and our God is able to hear us both at the same time. The Bible said our God is not like their God. Our God has a mouth and he said, let there be. And it was. I'm glad that our God is the God that can speak to your heart and speak to my heart and we can hear his voice. That small, still voice, that voice of comfort and love, that voice of consolation in times of trouble, that voice of conviction when we need it. I'm thankful today, ladies and gentlemen, that our God has a mouth, and with that mouth he speaks. I'd love to have been there when Jesus spoke. Wouldn't you have loved to have heard the mouth of the Lord Jesus speaking those words of comfort? Fear not, only believe. That old boy that was troubled about his daughter being dead or at least dying and would have died had Jesus not been there and did die. And Jesus said, fear not, only believe. Yeah. I'd like to have been there when he walked up to that woman at Nain and he put his arm around her and he called that dead boy that was there on that briar and he said, son, whatever his name was, ever how he said it, get up. I'd like to have been there and heard that mouth speak whenever he went there to the grave that had been dead, occupied for 4 days of Lazarus who had been dead, and heard him say, Lazarus, come forth. You ain't going to get that out of any of these other dead gods or these dead religions around here. Well, I like that, amen. Our God can speak. The Bible says that he has eyes. They have eyes, but they can't see. They have some eyes stuck on old Abe right here. But this here can't see your troubles. It can't see your problems. Them idols that they've got and statues and all kinds of ways that they worship these pagan idols today. They have eyes, but they can't see nothing. Our God sees. He sees the trouble you're in. He sees the problems you're in. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, we ought to be shouting it out today because our God sees what we go through. He sees the distress that we're in. He sees the problems that we go through. But their gods are dead gods. How'd you like to have a God that couldn't see nothing you was going through? You had to tell him everything. Now sometimes in our prayers we tell God all that's going on. God doesn't need information. God just needs somebody to cry out to him. Our God can see. Our God can see. The Bible says this in Matthew chapter 6. He says this. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet and pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret. He said, when you do your alms, do them in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret. When you fast in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret. He sees. He's got two eyes, and he sees. He looks. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro. To and fro. He's always looking. These pagan gods out here in the name of churches. Well, I got quiet. They're pagans. And they don't have the God we have. We have the God that sees. Thank God for it. The Bible says, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. God said, I see the trouble they're going through. I see the problems they're facing. I see it with my eyes. I'm beholding it. Well, I'm glad my God sees. You say, well, preacher, that's kind of being rude to that other crowd. No, I'm just telling you what they don't have that we have. We're just comparing. And since we're compared, I think we're on the winning side so far. We got a God that's self-existent that we didn't have to make. Tell you what, if I'm going to make a God, he's going to do what I want him to do. He's going to be like I want him to be. He don't, I'll just make another fit me, amen? But our God is self-existent. Our God has a mouth and he speaks. Our God has eyes and he sees. They ain't got anything. They ain't even on the scoreboard yet. Bible says here in chapter 115, they have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. The cry of those heathen goes out, but he never hears. What a hopeless situation that is to pray to a dead God. To pray to a carving here out of wood or out of gold or silver, and to cry and cry and cry and cry and cry. Help me, help me, help me. Poor old Kalijah, he just couldn't hear a thing, could he? He just a wooden stick. Y'all don't think I know what I'm talking about. That old wooden Indian maid, she didn't know anything either. They're all heathens. Oh, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. But I remember an old boy out walking on the water one day. It says, help, Lord. And the Lord heard him. Help, Lord. I remember an old Syrophoenician woman going over there to Jesus one day and saying, my daughter's vexed, tormented. And she said, I need some help. And he heard her. I remember the children of Israel crying out, and God said he heard them. But more than that, I remember crying out one day. And since that time, and he's heard me. Help, Lord. Help, 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 help. Oh, I'm glad today that God hears your cries. I'm glad God hears your requests. The Bible says he bows his ear down. Remember, Brother House? Here's God. Bows his ear down to where he can hear you. Boy, I tell you, I like that. Man, we're already 4-0. I'm telling you what, if you're not saved today, you better think about this crowd here ain't got no, they man-made, they have eyes, but they can't see, mouths, but they can't speak, ears, but they can't hear. I mean, they're in bad shape. Bible says they have noses, but they can't smell. They fashion them, make them a nose, and they got that idol there, and that nose has no way of smelling. Now, I thought about that, and I thought, well, why is that written in the Bible? But you know, the Bible says that our prayers are a sweet smell to God's ears, or to God's nose. But you know, I read something else that here in the Bible, and I don't have time to go through all of this, but you let me tell you, whenever God smells, he discerns our works, whether they're good or whether they're bad. You go and study it in your Bible. This would be something for you to do. The Bible says, I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing unto God. That's found, you don't believe it, that's found in Philippians 4 and verse number 18. Chapter 4, verse 18. He said what he brought was a sweet-smelling savor, well-pleasing to God. I tell you, God wants a life that's well-pleasing to him, that smells good. Talking about our works, our life. Well, I'm glad God knows when we've done good. He's better than Santa Claus. That dumb idol. Well, I'm going to read that verse in a minute. It is a dumb idol. Oh, preacher, you're being so rude. No, I read the Bible. The Bible calls it a dumb idol. A dumb idol. Boy, I didn't realize our church was so indifferent about this now. I should have been preaching on this a long time ago. They're a dumb idol. I'm going to read the verse. The dumb idol. Do you see what good I did? Well, he can't hear in the first place. Are you going to bless me? He doesn't know if you've done good or bad. All that is a piece of wood. Carved out on a lathe, I suppose. It's nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing. I know some don't believe this is in the Bible, so I'm just going to skip ahead and read it. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols. I read that. It's right here in red. It's in the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 2. God calls them dumb idols. Now, why can't we? Well, Brother Tim, that's somebody's sincere way of worship. No, it's heathenism. I mean, listen, we're 4-0. We might be 5. You better keep score. We're 5-0 already. Amen? I mean, this thing's looking like we just might win. The Bible says in verse number 7, they have hands, but they handle not. They have hands, but they don't do anything. I don't know where their hands are at, but they're lifeless. The Bible says that our God has some hands and he puts them to work in your life. The Bible says, hey, I want to read this. The Bible says, and remember that thou was a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out hence through a mighty hand. You don't think our God's hand's able? Boy, you ought to saw him over there one day in Daniel at Belshazzar's house whenever they was drinking, and the hand. Better than the Adams family, by the way. The hand showed up. And the finger of a man's hand wrote on the wall there. And all they saw was a hand. And the Bible says that Belshazzar's knees were so loose that they knocked. He's better than Don Knotts. You ain't never seen the ghost of Mr. Chicken. You ain't seen a movie yet. His knees were knocking. And on that, saw that hand. Right. You've been numbered. You've been weighed. You've been found wanting. You're a dead man. The hand of God. But I'll tell you what, I've seen his hand work before. I saw his hand work on Mike Reeves. And turned his heart, saw his hand. Saw the hand of the Lord. The hand of the Lord to move. I can only picture in my mind what it must have been for the gentle Savior to place that hand up on those eyes that were blind. And he touched them. And he made them whole. That old leper that nobody had, he had to walk around unclean, 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 unclean. And here Jesus is touching. Hadn't been touched in years with a loving, caring hand. But oh, he touched him. I think about them poor little old kids whom the disciples said, stay away from him. Jesus coming in, putting them up on his lap, patting them on the head. Amen. Said, Billy, guys, how you doing? Think of those hands. better than my mom's hands, better than my dad's hands, better than my wife's hands, better than my kids' hands, better than everybody's hands I've ever been touched with is the touch of the hand of Jesus. Well, let's just keep score. Number one, their idols are silver and gold. Ours is self-existent. Theirs have mouths, but they speak not. But ours speak. We're 2-0 right there. He said they have eyes, but they see not. Ours sees. We're 3-0. They have ears, but they can't hear. They have noses, but they can't smell. They have hands, but they can't handle. We're 6-0 right now. They have feet, but they can't walk. The old dumb idols have feet. Big feet, little feet, don't matter what kind of feet. But they can't do nothing unless somebody carries them. Hallelujah. I read where the Bible says he walks with me. And when I can't go, he picks me up and carries me. Thank God today for the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. I like reading it over here. Let me read you. The Bible says his feet was like unto fine brass if they had been burned in the furnace. Yeah. Yeah. His feet trod those old dusty roads of Israel, walking where sinners were. Walked down that lonely road of Calvary all by himself and bore in his body our sins. Their feet don't do that. We're 7-0 right now. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, comparing gods to gods, they ain't got nothing on us. Their gods can't walk with you. Today they can't walk with you where you're walking. They don't know what you're feeling. They can't be with you. Our God says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. 7-0. The Bible says here in verse number 7, neither speak they through their throat. Said, well, he doesn't talk about they can't speak. No, speaking through your throat means they're lifeless. There's no breath in them. Sadly, I've been to the funeral home, and I know the difference between those that have breath and those that don't. See, if you don't have breath in your throat, you're dead. Yep. If you need a scientific experiment of that, you wait till Tuesday or Wednesday when the snow dies down. I'll take you to the funeral home and I'll show you the difference. There's no breath in their throat. That means there's no life. There's no life in them. They're dead. Our God is alive. We just went to 8-0. We're looking pretty good right now. I mean, if they'd even score one, that may be a reason to stay over there. They ain't even got on the board yet. 8-0, our God has breath. He is self-existent. You know what the Bible says? The frost comes by the breath of God. Samuel said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. How could he speak if he wasn't alive? Amen? Them dumb idols can't do anything. Hey, I think it's pretty exciting. I've had a whole lot more fun than you have today. I can tell that. Some of y'all are just kind of wondering if that crowd ain't feeling sorry for them. They're the underdogs. No, they're not on the dog list at all. They're heathens. Bible says here in verse number 8, and they that make them are like unto them. The makers of the idols. Remember over in Acts whenever Paul got the town of Ephesus all stirred up and them unionized, organized laborers got all excited. He's taking our money away. Them that have turned the world upside down, they're just everywhere telling everybody there's only one God. And the great God is Diana. Oh, Diana, Diana, Diana. What are we going to do? He wasn't as worried about Diana as he was about his pocketbook. You read it. And for 2 hours, the whole city, great is God, Diana, the God of the Ephesians. She is a sun god. Oh, we still have her today. She's propped up with this little name, Mary, over her now. But she's still a pagan. Yeah. I said she's still a pagan. She's still a heathen. And anybody that worships her is a heathen. I knew that wasn't going to go over well. But I got him in my crowd, in my family that goes to that crowd. And they do all that hocus pocus stuff to her. And none of it's right. It's all heathens. Yes, sir. See, if I didn't have any, I probably wouldn't have said it. But I got them in my family too. I probably would have said it because it's wrong. It's heathens. You say, well, Brother Tim, that's all some of these people know is to worship. How would you like to be in India where all they do is worship the cow? You be hungry as a starving dog. And that cow walk around, woo! Can't eat me, dude. Ship her over here to the United States and see if we don't make some hamburger out of her. Amen? Amen. Thank God we ain't that kind of worship. Sir, or some of them that don't eat this and that because they think they spooky stuff. On Mars Hill, Paul said, I see you are much superstitious. They just religious about everything. Ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. And there's people out here making gods. Making little... See, I even think Mardi Gras is wrong. Yeah. Yeah. I'm against Halloween. Oh, Halloween, come on. It's the only day I get to dress up in something I'm not. I used to practice Halloween when I was a kid. Man, get all that free candy. Lord have mercy, was that good stuff. We didn't have to worry about a whole lot of stuff y'all have to worry about today. Now they give you apples. If you're going to give Halloween candy, give some stuff that's good. Make it worth their trip. But I'm against it. Just so you know. Say, well, Brother Tim, no, my kids never did practice it. My mom and dad, they's a little bit aggravated because Halloween came around when Sam was born, you know. Well, what's he going to be? What he is right now. You're going to give him some candy. Give it to him now. Amen. The only good thing about Halloween's the day after when all the candy's free at the Walmart. I'm not going to do that stuff. And no Christian ought to be practicing that. I see it on Facebook. I don't ever push like. Because I wish they'd push a unlike. I think that's heathenism. Yeah. So, oh, it's just kids having fun. No, they that make them are likened to them. And the Bible says, and it so is everyone. Did it say everyone? Everyone that trusteth in them. You say, well, Brother Tim, you're just being arrogant. You're just acting like you're the only one that knows what's true. No, I know what the Bible says. And I just read it here. God says anything, a molten image. Poor old Asa, one day, he got to be the king. You know what he did? He said, Mama, you're not queen anymore. She goes, what? She goes, no. In fact, that idol crowd you got out there, I'm tearing it down, Mom. Oh, son, don't do that to your mama. Oh, yeah, I'm going to because it's wrong. Mom, you're a heathen. And he went down there and tore it down. Yes, he did. Poor old mama lost her gods. The idol's dead. But our God is alive. See, we didn't have to make ours. He made us. We're made in His image, in His likeness. The Bible says, and he said unto them, and he breathed on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. So if you're an idol maker, or you're an idol worshiper, you're just like the idol you're making. It's dead. It's lifeless. It's lifeless. It's hopeless. But God says, Israel, you trust in me. Our God is in heaven, doing whatever he wants to do. Let me say today, what's coming down outside is because God wanted it to. What's coming down outside is what God wanted to come down outside. I always ask the Lord this. I said, Lord, how come you sent this on the Lord's day? Now, you know people will use any excuse not to come to church like that. Why don't you send that on Monday? Because they're going to work. Come snow or not, they're going to work. They'll tread uphill both ways. 75 below zero, they going to work. I was talking to a preacher that's been calling me, asking me for advice and on a few things, and he said, you know, Brother Tim, here's what every true believing preacher believes, and here's what every non-preacher, true pastor is praying tonight. Lord, don't let the snow come on Sunday. But he done what he wanted to do. It's coming down. And I suspect it's going to come down until he says it's enough. Until that stuff gets over on that side. Or that side. Whoever which way is east. Amen. Who knows around here. Lord's going to have to just come and the shout's going to have to be loud. Because I ain't got a clue where east is most of the time. Is it that direction? Yeah, all right. Praise the Lord. In Illinois, that's north. So I don't know. No wonder they're so screwed up. They don't even know which way east is. Amen. He just does what he wants. You know what he wanted to do one day? He wanted to save me. So he sent his son to be my savior. Yeah. One day he wanted to save me, so he knocked on my heart's door. Well, he could have done that to anybody, but he wanted to save me. Yeah. Yeah. One day he spoke to me, said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. One day he spoke, knocked, used that hand, knocked on my door of my heart. Well, I'm glad I got a God that's real, amen. Well, I don't know what the score was, but we winning. And I wouldn't care if we went through 100 million things, they still don't have one. Now, if you're not saved today, you're with this crowd right here. Mike told me the other day, I think Sunday maybe I preached something about being on this side or that side. He said, Brother Tim, I need to get on the right side of the room. I knew what that meant, amen. We're on the right side, not on the left. We're going to stay on the right. Yeah. It's where the sheep are at. See, there's a lot of them over there. You got the gist of the message. Our God's real. And their God isn't. And we're not going to pony up and practice their heathenism. We're not going to act like it's okay. Amen? We're not going to go over here and have all that crowd come down to our church and have community worship and let everybody believe what they want and do all that kind of stuff. I don't mind preaching to that crowd, but they ain't going to come here and preach. I was invited to go up and preach to the ladies' auxiliary. They fed me and I got to preach. Win-win. Amen? They wouldn't even have to let me preach. I'd have went for the free food. Amen? You know what I told them? Same thing I'm telling you. Our God's real. And if they don't have our God, their God isn't. I don't care what form, what name, what denomination or lack of denomination. It don't matter to me. If you don't have the real God, you don't have one. Father, thank you for the day. Bless us, we pray. And Lord, help us to take a stand for what we know to be right. We don't have to be ugly. We don't have to be unkind. But God, when it comes to false doctrine, God, we need to take our stand. And there's a bunch of religions out here, a bunch of so-called churches out here practicing everything but what this holy book says. And help us, God. Thank you, Lord, that we're on the winning side tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you'll bless this time together. And somebody here that's never been saved, that they'd come to know Christ as their Savior. And I pray, Lord, today that you'll work in us to help us to serve you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In Jesus' name. Their heads bowed, eyes closed, and Sherry's playing the hymn of invitation. Why don't we stand together? We're going to go home here in a minute. Why don't you stand?